Sisters,
弟兄姊妹早安。
Welcome to our service.
欢迎弟兄姊妹参加我们主日的敬拜。
It's a great joy to be together as both English and Chinese congregations this morning.
我想今天早上的话，我们中文跟英文一同的聚会，这是何等的喜乐。
Just miss seeing all of you, and it feels like haven't seen you in a long, long time.
在过去很长的一段时间，感觉很久没有见到弟兄姊妹，甚是怀念。
Let me open us up in a word of prayer.
我们一开始的话有一点的祷告。
Heavenly Father,
亲爱的天父，
we worship you.
我们来敬拜你。
We praise you for your glory and your majesty.
我们因着你这些荣耀，我们来赞美你。
We praise you for your holiness and your justice.
因着你自己的圣洁和公义，我们来向你祷告。
And we praise you for your grace and your mercy.
我们也为着你自己的恩典和慈悲，我们向你祷告。
Lord, we commit this time into your hands.
主啊，我们将以下的时间交在你的手里面。
May our praises be sweet to your ears.
盼望我们的祷告能够达到你的耳边。
And may your word be life-giving to our souls.
盼望你自己的话语能够进到我们的心里面。
And we pray this in Jesus' name.
我们祷告是奉主耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
In the 1500s, there began something called the Protestant Reformation.
在十五世纪的时候，有一个运动叫做宗教改革。
And it begins in 1517 with a German monk named Martin Luther.
在1517年开始的时候，有一个宣道士，他的名字叫马丁路德。
And he was protesting the abuses and errors in the Roman Catholic Church.
他那个时候就抗议在罗马的天主教会里面有很多的暴行与错谬。
Over time, the Catholic Church had made a lot of wrong teachings.
因为在那个时候，罗马教会他们有许多错谬的教导。
And the church was filled with people who really had no interest in God and more interest in power or wealth.
因此那个时候的教会其实有很多人对神的话语并不感兴趣，他们所感兴趣的是他们的权力和地位。
And so Luther began a movement that we call today Protestantism.
所以在那个时候马丁路德就开始了一个运动，就叫做新教运动。
Martin Luther and many like him wanted to get back to what the true faith was.
所以马丁路德与其他与他相似的人，他们就很希望回到这个原初相信的根本。
To get away from the teachings of man and get into the word of God.
想要尝试着把人带出人的教导而进入到神的话里面。
And so we summarize their core beliefs with five main points.
所以我们将这个运动里面最重要的五个点来罗列下来。
And these are called the five solas of the Protestant Reformation, the word sola meaning alone in Latin.
这个宗教改革里面在拉丁语里面叫做五个 sola, 那也就是五个仅凭。
And these are Christ alone, Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, and for the glory of God alone.
所以这五个仅凭的话是仅凭基督，仅凭经文，仅凭信心，仅凭恩典，仅凭神的荣耀。
Now, I didn't list them in any particular order.
这五个仅凭的话并没有任何特定的顺序。
They're just the order that I've decided to preach them in.
这五个顺序只是我今天要与弟兄姊妹分享我自己列的这个顺序。
And in the English congregation, we've covered the first three of these.
在英文团契的聚会里面我已经分享了前面三个的锦屏。
So if you're curious to find out more about them, you can look on the YouTube channel and find those sermons.
所以弟兄姊妹如果对着这前三个的锦屏感兴趣的话，可以在 YouTube 上面可以看到我信息的分享。
But this morning, I want to look at grace alone.
那今天早上我想与弟兄姊妹分享的是仅凭恩典。
And now to discover what grace alone means, we have to look at what the Catholic Church was teaching.
那么我们要明白这个仅凭恩典的话，首先我们要先明白在天主教会里面他们是怎么样教导的。
The Catholic Church taught that we are saved through a combination of God's grace,the merits that we accumulate ourselves, and the surplus merits of the saints before us.
那么在这个天主教会里面的话，他们认为呢，我们得救是因着这几样东西的结合，包括神的恩典，我们今天的善行，还有包括以前历代圣徒他们所积累的善行。
Now that may seem strange to us,But they believe that, yes, we are saved by God's grace.
这个当我们自己听起来的时候会觉得有点奇怪。但是呢在他们看来是的我们是神的恩典所拯救的。
But to add to that, there's our own good works that we do through the church or on our own or through penance or confession.
但是除此之外呢他们还认为我们还需要有一些很好的善行包括在教会里面的活动等等。
And then to add to that, there's also believers that have gone before us that have been so righteous that they have extra righteousness that we can use for ourselves.
那么除此之外呢他们还认为说在我们以前很多的圣徒因为他们是如此的良善所以他们所做出来的很多的善行是多余的他们用不着的那这些多余出来的善行也就加到我们的身上来成为我们救赎的其中一个原因。
Of course, the reformers looked in God's word and say, I don't see that.
但是很多时候当我们去看的时候会发现其实这些东西并没有啊。
They said,No, we are saved by God's grace and God's grace alone.
因为这个运动告诉我们说，不是的，我们仅仅是靠着恩典得救的。
Apart from God's grace, no one can be saved.
因为除去神的恩典，没有任何人是会被救赎的。
That's because in our lost condition, human beings are not capable of gaining, seeking out, or even cooperating with God's grace.
因为当我们在一个失落的情形里面，其实我们是没有办法得到神的恩典，寻找神的恩典。
In other words, God not only supplies forgiveness and salvation through the death of Jesus on the cross to all who believes,But he also supplies the ability to believe itself.
换句话说呢，神他不但是供应了我们这个救赎的恩典，借着耶稣基督在十字架上面的死，而且他还供应了我们相信的这个能力。
To say it simply, we know from Romans that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ.
那么也就简单的说的话我们是因着信而接受这个恩典的。
But who provides that faith?
但是这个信是谁给的呢?
Is it from ourselves?
是从我们自己来的吗?
If it were, then God provides the grace, the salvation, but then we provide our faith.
那么如果是这样的话，那么也就是说，神为我们供应的恩典， 我们提供的信心。
It's like having a family dinner where we all bring our own dish.
就好像当我们家庭聚餐的时候啊，我们每个人都带上自己的一份小菜。
Kind of like how our Thanksgiving meals at church are usually.
就像我们过去在教会里面这个感恩聚会一样。
But the reformer said God's grace is not like that.
但是这个运动告诉我们说神的恩典其实不是这样的。
That God not only provides salvation, but God also gives us the faith.
因为他告诉我们说神不但是给了我们救赎的恩典，而且是神给了我们信心。
Now, of course, Martin Luther and the reformers faced a lot of opposition to their beliefs.
当然很显然，马丁路德与他们很多参与这共同运动的人一样，他们会受到很多的攻击和反对。
And in 1524, a Catholic priest named Erasmus attacked Luther on this very issue of grace.
所以在1524年的时候，有一个天主教会的这个祭司，他的名字叫 Erasmus， 他就在恩典的这个观点上面，他就攻击马丁路德。
Now, of course, there were many people in the Catholic Church attacking Luther, but Erasmus was seen to be the most qualified.
当然在当时的很多天主教会里面，有很多的人都会攻击马丁路德，但是这个祭司 Erasmus 的话，他可能在身份地位上面有相当受到相当的尊重。
And so in response to Erasmus, Luther wrote a book called The Bondage of the Will.
因此呢，马丁路德为了回应这位祭司的言论，他就写了一本书叫做意志的束缚。
And he writes this, You and you alone have seen the hinge on which all turns.
他在这个书里面就提到一点说，你只有你一个人曾经见过万物运转的枢纽。
That is, out of all the people that have been attacking Martin Luther, only Erasmus caught the thing that was the most important.
也就是说，有许多的人，但是虽然有许多的人，但是仅有这个 Erasmus， 他看见了最重要的这个东西。
Other people would attack, you know, the place of the Pope or the place of Scripture or other things, but Erasmus attacked Luther's view of grace.
因为除了这个 Erasmus 这个人以外呢，有很多人攻击马丁路德，但是他们攻击的对象可能是某一些其他的观点，某一些其他的经文，但是只有 Erasmus 这个人攻击到了这个言论里面最中心的点，那就是恩典。
So that's why Martin Luther says, you've got the hinge which it all turns on.
所以这个马丁路德就说，你看见了这个其中最重要这个枢纽。
And he continues, this decides whether Christianity will be a religion of pure grace or of a polluted grace.
这也就决定了基督教信仰它是否是一个纯粹的恩典的信仰。还是说一个被污染的信仰。
Would it be part God and part man?
它是要一部分是靠着人，一部分靠着神吗？
Would God supply the grace and man supply the faith so that man now becomes his co-savior?
是否神供应的恩典，而人供应的信心，以至于人成为了这个救恩的共同拯救者呢？
And that man saves himself as much as God saves him? No.
也就是说，这个人他拯救自己的功劳与神拯救他的功劳一样多，断乎不是。
Luther goes on to say, God supplies not only the forgiveness of sins through grace, but God supplies the gift of saving faith and the gift of repentance.
马丁路德他继续说到，神不仅是透过恩典供应了赦罪的这个恩典，他也供应了信心与悔改的恩赐。
Man contributes nothing.
人没有任何的功劳。
God supplies everything.
是神供应了一切。
God is exclusively the savior of lost sinners.
神是那失落罪人的唯一的拯救者。
So now let's turn from quoting Martin Luther to let's look at the scriptures. What does the Bible have to say?
那我们现在从马丁路德他的话语里面，我们转到圣经，看看圣经里面是怎么说的。
We need to find it in the pages of Holy Scripture.
我们必须要在这个圣经里面我们找到一些的话语。
Now, of course, if we want to find out about grace, oftentimes we will think, well, let's look in the New Testament.
许多时候当我们觉得说当我们要去了解这个恩典的话，我们第一个反应可能是我们先去新约里面去寻找相关的经文。
And that thought would not be wrong.
当然这样的思想是没有错误的。
But many times, even in Christian circles, there's a false belief that the God of the New Testament is a God of grace, whereas the God of the Old Testament is a God of wrath.
但是许多时候甚至在我们基督教的这个群体里面，我们常常会有一个错误的信念，会觉得说新约的这个神呢，新约是关于恩典的，但是旧约的神呢，旧约是关于神的怒气的。
So just to kind of reinforce that God is the same no matter where in the scripture you look, and that the God of the Old Testament is the God of grace too, we're going to turn to the Old Testament.
但是我想在这边重新再强调一下，旧约里面的神和新约里面的神都是同一位神，旧约的神也是恩典的神。
So let's look at Isaiah chapter 29.
所以我们接下来我们翻到旧约的经节以赛亚书29章。
Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 9.
我们以赛亚书29章，我们从第九节开始。
Be stunned and amazed, blind yourselves and be sightless, be drunk but not from wine, stagger but not from beer.
你们等候惊奇吧，你们宴乐昏迷吧，他们醉了却非因酒，他们东倒西歪却非因浓酒。
The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep. He has sealed your eyes, the prophets. He has covered your heads, the seers.
因为耶和华将沉睡的灵浇灌你们，封闭你们的眼，蒙盖你们的头。你们的眼就是先知，你们的头就是先见。
Isaiah 29 is a word against God's own people.
那么以赛亚书29章，他这边的话语是要对付他自己的百姓的。
God's people are confused, blind, and drunk.
因为神的百姓他是无知的、瞎眼的、是醉酒的。
Not necessarily physically, but spiritually.
当然并不一定是在物理的、身体的层面上，更多的是说在属灵的层面上。
They've refused to listen to God and have made themselves spiritually blind and spiritually drunk.
因为他们不愿意去听神的话语，因此他们就造成了他们属灵上面的瞎眼与醉酒。
And then furthermore, because they've refused to listen to God, he's hardened their heart even farther and doesn't speak to them through prophets or seers.
那么更多的人，他们因为拒绝去听神的话语，所以他们使他们的心更加的刚硬。他们也不想要听他们先见与先知的话语。
Now it's the mark of a relationship that there's communication.
我们知道这个交通的话是一个关系的，它的一个记号。
If a husband and wife communicate, their relationship is close.
如果说一对夫妻他们之间有交通的话，那么就说明他们的关系还是亲近的。
But if they don't talk at all, we know that their relationship is doing very poorly.
但是如果我们发现一对夫妻他们之间的沟通消失的话，我们就知道他们的关系其实是非常糟糕的。
And so here we see the relationship between God and Israel is doing very poorly.
因此我们就看见说这边以色列百姓与神的关系其实是关系是十分糟糕的。
There's no communication happening.
因为中间没有交通。
And so therefore we know there's no relationship.
所以我们就知道其中是就没有了关系。
Isaiah 29 verse 11.
在29章11节。
For you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say to him, read this please, he will answer, I can't, it is sealed.
所有的末世，你们看如分出的书卷，人将这书卷交给识字的，说请念吧，他说我不能念，因为是封住了。
Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this please, he will answer, I don't know how to read.
又将这书卷交给不识字的人，说请念吧，他说我不识字。
Isaiah is describing Israel's reception of God's word.
这边以赛亚他就描述了以色列百姓对神话语的一个认知。
The word coming through Isaiah is like a scroll that is sealed to God's people.
神的话语对着以色列百姓来说就像一个被封住的书卷。
So on the first hand, they take the scroll and they can't read it because they're just too lazy.
一方面的话，他们不能够读神的话语，因为他们太懒惰了。
I can't unseal the scroll. I just can't read it.
他说我没有办法打开，我没办法念这个书。
And I don't know how to read. I can't be bothered to learn how to read. So I can't read it.
因为我念不了，所以我也不想要花时间花精力去读它。
And on the other hand, this is also judgment because they're so spiritually blind and drunk that they're not able to see or hear God's message.
当然，另外一方面也是因为他们是瞎眼的，是醉酒的，他们没有办法看见或者听见神所要说的话语。
So Isaiah summarizes their condition in the next verse.
所以以赛亚在接下来的经节就总结了他们的情况。
The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men.
主说，因为这百姓亲近我，用嘴唇尊敬我，心却远离我。他们敬畏我，不过是领受人的吩咐。
Israel's religion is all dead.
我们看到以色列人，他们的信仰是一片死城。
They might be able to say the right things or do the right things, but they have no relationship with God.
他们或许可以说一些对的事情，或者做一些对的事情。但是他们与神却没有这个关系。
This is God's own people, and God is saying, you have no relationship with me.
我们要知道这个是神的百姓，但是神却说，你们与我是无关的。
You won't hear me, you won't listen to me.
你不愿意听我的话语。
And so therefore, I'm not even going to talk to you.
所以因此我根本就不愿意向你们说话。
And then the worst part of it is, that doesn't bother Israel at all.
但是最差的部分是在于说，即使神不向他们说话，他们也觉得毫无关系。
They're living like unbelievers.
因为他们的生活就像一个非信徒一样。
They're living like there is no God.
他们活着好像根本就没有这一位神。
And so I imagine Satan must be sitting and waiting outside Jerusalem for the fire to come down in judgment upon God's people.
我想我自己想象，就好像撒旦就在耶路撒冷的城门外，等着神审判的怒火降临到他们中间。
That Satan's been so hard at work in the heart of God's people that he's turned their hearts completely away from God.
撒旦他如此努力的想要把以色列百姓的心从神那里转移。
So just like Jonah wakes outside of Nineveh, waiting for the destruction of Nineveh, Satan must be just waiting for God to destroy his people.
这就好像尼尼微城发生的故事，约拿在尼尼微城外等待着神的审判降临到尼尼微城，撒旦也是如此，他站在耶路撒冷城门外也等着神的审判临到耶路撒冷。
And as the ones reading Isaiah chapter 29, we're left waiting in anticipation, waiting for to see what God will do.
这也是我们好像当我们在读以赛亚书的时候，我们好像也有这么样的一个看见，好像接下来神的审判就要临到他们。
But reading about the spiritual state of Israel, we can't help but think they deserve God's wrath.
所以当我们来读的时候，我们了解到以色列属灵的这个情景的时候，我们好像只能够看见接下来因着神他的圣洁，他的怒气将会临到他们。
So as we wait for their well-deserved punishment, we read the next verse.
OK, 所以我们现在抱着我们知道说以色列人他们是应当被审判的，我们抱着这样的一个心态，我们来读接下来的经文。
Verse 14.
第十四节。
Therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish, the intelligence of the intelligent will vanish.
所以我在这百姓中要行奇妙的事，就是奇妙又奇妙的事。他们智慧人的智慧必然消灭，聪明人的聪明必然隐藏。
Did that verse give you the chills?
当我们读到这句话的时候，会不会觉得让我们觉得心里发凉？
All of Satan's hard work undone with just one verse.
我们看到当我们读到这句话的时候，会不会让我们觉得一下子好像放心了？因为撒旦所有的这些他努力的做事做的这些事情，在一句话之间全部都烟消云散。
Instead of anger or wrath,God extends grace.
要来的其实不是神的怒气，而是神继续延续了他的恩典。
Pure, unmerited, undeserved grace.
这是纯粹的，人所不配有的恩典，不需要任何人的努力而得来的恩典。
Grace that's not contingent on man or woman doing anything at all.
这个恩典它并不取决于我们人做了哪些事情。
It's not dependent on man's love or even change of heart.
因为这个并不是取决于人的爱或者人心意的转变。
This is like what happens in the book of Hosea.
我想这个就好像在何西阿书当中所发生的故事。
God's relationship with his people is on display through the relationship of Hosea and his wife Gomer.
神与他百姓的关系在何西阿当中，他是通过何西阿与他妻子歌篾的关系而展现出来的。
And Hosea's wife keeps on betraying him and running away.
我们看到何西阿他妻子，他总是要从他这个家里面出逃出来。
And so we see in Hosea that God mourns over the betrayal of his wife Israel.
所以这就看见以色列人的神因着他的百姓哀叹，就好像 这个何西亚因着他的妻子哀叹一样。
And yet, out of his broken heart, God shows grace.
然而，在神如此心碎的时候，他仍然转向他的百姓。
Hosea chapter 2, verse 14.
在何西阿书第二章十四节。
Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her.
后来我必劝导她，领她到旷野，对她说安慰的话。
It's the voice of a husband that longs for his wife.
这是一个期待着自己妻子的一个丈夫所说的温柔的话。
And with a broken heart, instead of being angry and wrathful at her, he says, I'm going to win her back.
当他的心受伤的时候，他所带来的并不是怒气，而是说我要带她回来。
And this is what God is doing in Isaiah.
这个就是在以赛亚书当中神所要做的。
Because of his people's sin and dead spirituality, God is once again going to do wonders.
因着他百姓的罪孽与他们好像已经死亡的属灵的光景，神要再次的行他的奇事。
That means God is going to do a work like the work that he did originally back in Egypt.
这就是说神他要做一件事情，就好像他曾经在埃及地所行的奇事一样。
Where he rescued his people with a mighty hand from life of bondage and brought them into the promised land.
这就好像他当时用他大能的手将这些在埃及地为奴的百姓把他们领到这个与他们立约之地。
In all of Israel's history, Israel always looks back to the Exodus as that time where God did wonders.
所以在历史当中，我们常常会回到以色列人出埃及的时候，那段时间神所行的奇事。
Now God says, once again, I am going to do wonders.
所以这个时候神就说，再一次我要大行奇事。
Now in the immediate historical context,we know from history that God is going to rescue Israel from the threat of the Assyrians.
所以从历史的角度我们就看见说神要救赎这个，在以赛亚书当中这个情形，神要救赎神的从这个亚述的威胁当中，神要救赎他的百姓出来。
And the way that he's going to rescue his people from Assyria is going to be amazing and wonderful.
那么神从这个亚述的手当中拯救以色列人百姓，这其中的作为是十分的惊奇的。
He's going to rescue them from the Assyrians without Israel even having to fight at all. God is going to do all the work.
因为神将他的百姓从亚述的手中拯救出来，甚至都不需要以色列人动一分一毫，因为神完全的靠神就把他们拯救出来。
But the prophecies in Isaiah aren't only concerned with the immediate physical safety of Israel.
但是这边这个先知以赛亚先知他所关心的其实并不是物理层面上面的他们的安危，以色列人的安危。
Isaiah is concerned with the future salvation when God sends his promised Messiah.
这边以赛亚他其实所要讲的点是讲到神将来要赐给人的那完美的全备的福音，那就是要差遣他的弥赛亚。
And so Isaiah has already spoken of a wonder that's going to be given to Israel that is even more wonderful than saving them from Assyria.
所以以赛亚在这边他其实已经告诉我们在将来他要行的奇事，而不只是说把以色列人的百姓从亚述的手中拯救回来。
In Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah has spoken of this.
在以赛亚书的第九章，以赛亚先知就讲了这个事情。
Isaiah 9 verse 6，
在以赛亚书第九章的26节，第六节。
For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
因有一位婴孩为我们而生，有一子赐给我们，政权必担在他的肩头上，他名称为奇妙策士，全能的神，永在的父，和平的君。
So this wonder that God is going to do is going to be no less than sending his one and only son, Jesus Christ, into the world.
神在这边所要行的这件奇事，也就是要把他的爱子从天降下赐给人。
The wonder of God himself coming down and taking on the form of a man.
这个奇事正是神他本身道成肉身来到地上。
That is the wonder that God is speaking about through Isaiah.
所以这就是以赛亚书他所讲到的神所要行的那件奇事。
Now, I'm not stretching God's word, and I'm not saying Jesus in places where they aren't.
当然我这边并没有强解神的话语，我也没有把耶稣放在他不担当的位置上面。
So just to prove this, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
我们要接下来要看这个哥林多前书第一章里面讲到来证明以上所述的观点。
And in this chapter, Paul actually quotes Isaiah 29.
因为在这章里面，其实保罗就引用了以赛亚书里面所说的话。
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
因为十字架的道理在那灭亡的人为愚拙，在我们得救的人却为神的大能。
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.
就如经上记着说，我要灭绝智慧人的智慧，废弃聪明人的聪明。
Now that's the quote from Isaiah.
当然接下来是从以赛亚书所引用过来的。
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?
智慧人在哪里？文士在哪里？这世上的辨识在哪里？神岂不是叫这世上的智慧变为愚拙吗？
For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe.
世人凭自己的智慧既不认识神，神就乐意用人所当作愚拙的道理拯救那些信的人，这就是神的智慧了。
Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles.
犹太人是要神迹，希利尼人是求智慧，我们却是传钉十字架的基督，在犹太人为绊脚石，在外邦人为愚拙。
But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks,Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
但在那蒙召的，无论是犹太人、希利尼人，基督总为神的能力、神的智慧。
For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength.
因神的愚拙总比人智慧，神的软弱总比人强壮。
So Paul is saying the exact same thing that Isaiah was saying.
所以保罗在这边所说的，其实与以赛亚所说的是同样的一件事情。
Man wasn't searching for God.
人并没有要寻求神。
Man's not trying to believe in God.
人他也并没有尝试着去相信神。
Mankind's heart is far away from him.
因为人的心与神远离。
That we have no love or interest in God.
因为我们对神已经没有了爱，也没有了兴趣。
But in spite of that, God shows grace.
但是尽管如此，神却向我们展示了他的恩典。
Paul makes this clear in Ephesians chapter 2.
保罗在以弗所书第二章的时候再次明确了这一点。
Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins.
在以弗所书第二章第一节说到，你们死在过犯罪恶之中，他叫你们活过来。
In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient.
那时你们在其中行事为人，随从今世的风俗，顺服空中掌权者的首领，就是现今在悖逆之子心中运行的邪灵。
All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath.
我们从前也都在他们中间放纵肉体的私欲，随着肉体和心中所喜好的去行，本为可怒之子，和别人一样。
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy,
然而神既有丰富的怜悯，因他爱我们的大爱，
made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
当我们死在过犯中的时候，便叫我们与基督一同活过来，你们得救是本乎恩。
We were dead in our sin.
我们是在我们死在死亡的我们死在罪的当中。
And God makes us alive again in Christ.
但是神却叫我们与基督一同活过来。
What do we contribute?
那我们到底有什么功劳呢？
Nothing.
完全没有。
Dead people can't contribute anything.
因为一个已经死掉的人，他是没有办法有任何的贡献。
And so we see from the Old and the New Testament, God teaches that it's His grace alone that saves us.
所以我们看到从旧约与新约当中，我们都看到是神的恩典，仅凭神的恩典。
Now I want to close with just looking at some real world examples of why this is important.
接下来我想用一些我们世界当中的一些例子，我们来阐述一下它的重要性。
Because this might just seem like something that theologians just sit around and think about, and it has no real impact on us.
因为这好像我们常常听起来会觉得这只是一些神学家他们所谈论的一些事情，与我们其实并没有太相关。
So I have two examples from friends of mine. One is grew up in a Christian family, but is kind of struggling with his faith, and the other is a non-Christian.
那我接下来要提到了两个例子，一个是一个从基督教家庭长大的，他因着他的信有一些的挣扎。那么另外一个例子呢，会用到一个非基督徒的例子。
So my friend who was born in the church, he was listening to an online sermon recently.
我的这个朋友呢，他从小是在教会当中长大的，他最近听了一个信息。
And he was listening to one of these big mega churches.
他所听的信息是从一个很大的教会那边听来的。
And I guess they were speaking about God being for us.
那么他这边他所听到的信息大概是讲到神是为着我们而有的。
And so my friend asked these questions.
所以我这个朋友他就问这个问题。
Is he for me though? What if I'm not for him?
他真的是为着我吗？如果我并不是为着他呢？
Why would God be on my side if I'm not on his?
神，为什么神要站在我这边呢？如果我并不与神站在同一边。
Well, that's exactly why grace is so important.
这就是为什么恩典是如此的重要。
He feels no assurance in salvation because he doesn't feel in himself that he desires God.
他觉得很没有安全感，是因为他对神没有这样的一个渴望。
And how can God be for him if he is not for God?
如果他并不是为着神，神为什么要为着他呢？
But that's the great news of the gospel.
但是这正是福音所带给我们的消息。
That none of us are for God until God saves us.
因为我们没有一个人是为着神而活的，直到有一天神救赎了我们。
If God were waiting for us to be interested in him first, he would wait forever.
如果神一直等待着我们有一天对他产生兴趣的话，那么他可能要永远的等待着。
But God is always the one who acts first.
但是神他总是那位第一个提出请求的人。
God is the one who saves.
因为是神拯救了。
And he saves by grace alone.
他是仅凭着恩典救赎了我们。
My other friend, who was a non-Christian, had very strong thoughts on evangelism.
我的另外一个非基督徒的朋友，他对着这个福音派有一个非常强的一个意见。
And in this very politically charged culture that we're in right now, he realized that human debate and argument doesn't really change anyone's mind.
在我们现在这个政治受政治文化影响十分大的这个环境底下，他觉得说这些人的一些辩论啊也好，他根本没有办法改变人的思想。
And that doesn't happen. You look on the TV and you have someone from one side going talking to someone from the other side, and no one says,Oh, I finally understand now. I understand your point of view, and now I agree with you.
这就像我们今天在电视上面看到两派的人在辩论的时候，你很难就是因为听到其中一方说的一些话语，你就会觉得说，哦，我终于明白了，我同意他的看法。
And so he looked at evangelism, and he said this, evangelism doesn't change anyone's mind.
所以他看到这个福音派的时候，他就会觉得说，传福音它其实并不能改变任何人的思想。
It just provides a shared suffering that builds the community of the church.
因为它所提供的只是一个，好像是一个共同的苦难，以此作为基准建立一个教会的这么样的一个群体。
And from a biblical perspective, he in part is right.
从圣经的角度来说，其实它部分程度上面其实是正确的。
It's impossible for us to change someone's mind by telling them words of the gospel.
我们确实单单的告诉别人关于福音的事情，不能够完全的改变他人的想法和思想。
But we don't just share words.
但是我们其实不仅仅是在讲这些话而已。
Behind our evangelism lies the grace of God.
因为在这福音的后面，是存在着神极大的恩典。
And that grace of God gives us hope when we share the gospel.
因为因着神的恩典，他就给了我们传福音的这个盼望。
Because we're not trying to argue people into the kingdom of God.
因为我们并不是通过辩论的方式把人带进天堂。
We are giving the Holy Spirit opportunity to work on that person's heart and for God to save them, regardless of where they are or who they are.
我们其实是透过传福音，给圣灵一个工作的机会，让他认识神，不论这个人他是在哪里。
Let me end with this quote from theologian Gordon Clark from his book Predestination.
接下来呢，我会用神学家在他的一本书叫《宿命》的这本书里面，来作为我们今天分享的结尾。
To become Christian, a person must be born again, born into God's family.
要成为一个基督徒，那么这个人必须要重生，而且要重生在神的家里。
We all were children of wrath, even as others.
我
And
们
we
都
had to be reborn as children of God.
我们曾经与其他人一样，都是可怒之子，但是我们要必须要重生，成为神的儿女。
Obviously, this is something a man cannot do.
当然，这个事情不是人可以做的。
When one is born of the Spirit, it is the work of the Spirit.
当人从灵而生，这个是圣灵的工作。
A baby cannot initiate its birth.
一个婴儿，他没有办法触发他的出生。
This is the act of its parents.
这个是由他的父母而来的。
No baby chooses or decides to be born.
没有一个婴孩，他可以自己决定出生。
This is why the spiritual change from the death of sin to newness of life is pictured as a birth.
因此，我们在属灵的层面上面，从死亡进入到一个新生，这就被理解为重生。
The picture of resurrection teaches the same lesson.
这个复活的这个画面就告诉我们同样的一个事情。
We are raised from the dead, but we do not raise ourselves. It is the act of God.
我们从死里面复活，但并不是我们叫我们自己复活，这个是神的作为。
Hence, the will of man has nothing to do with it in the least.
因此，人的意志跟这一点是毫无关系的。
Let us pray.
我们一同来祷告。
We thank you, Father, that you show such amazing grace.
父，我们感谢你，因为你向我们展示的是如此惊人的恩典。
That even though we were dead in our sins and trespasses, you have still saved us.
虽然我们死在罪恶的过犯当中，但是你仍然救赎了我们。
That you do not wait for us to stop being your enemies, but you save us first.
神啊，你其实并没有等待着我们不成为你的敌人，而是你要先来救赎我们。
That you have provided everything that we need for salvation.
因为你供应了我们一切，叫我们能够被救赎。
You've given us Jesus.
你给了我们耶稣。
You've taken away the wrath of judgment and given us righteousness.
你从我们身上拿走了那审判的怒火，而你却给了我们公义。
You've given us rebirth to be children of God.
你叫我们重生成为神的儿女。
And in all that, we did nothing.
而以上的这所有，我们没有任何的功劳。
And Lord, so we praise you all the more because all of salvation is from you.
主啊，我们在你面前，我们向你祷告，是因着你所行的这一切。
There's no part of it that we can say, I did such a great job.
因为在没有任何的一个层面，我们可以说我们行了一些的大事。
So Lord, help us to feel anew that your grace is amazing.
主啊，帮助我们能够看见你这惊人的恩典。
And we pray in Jesus' name.
我们祷告是奉主耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.